Welcome everybody to Fork Union Baptist again. Welcome everybody online. We're going to worship this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired physically, but I'm tired mentally and emotionally of watching the news, worrying about things that we can't control, or maybe just getting so wrapped up in politics and all the things that are going on. And sometimes we just need to reset and just focus on the eternal things. Focus on the name of Jesus just for a few seconds. Let's just take just a brief moment of silence before we start singing about that name of Jesus. And let's just focus for just a second on the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the very breath that we breathe in today. Lord, as we breathe in the air that you give us, Lord, just as I read in devotion this week, let me exhale all the stress and all the worry. Just take a deep breath and remember that you're still on the throne this morning. There will be one name that we proclaim here at Fork Union Baptist, and that's the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 15. If you're a note taker, the title of the sermon today is The Commission. The Commission. Last week we saw and we asked ourselves this simple question. Am I a Jesus fan or am I a Jesus fanatic? Remember we talked about what a fanatical person is or what the definition of a fanatic is? We talked about how there's plenty of fans of Jesus, plenty of Jesus fans in the world. There's always been large crowds gathered around Jesus and people that want to follow Jesus or want to see what he's doing or maybe hear what he's doing, but only a few are fully devoted to following him and commit their lives to following Jesus and the plan that he has for them. And this is the way we've been looking at right here in Matthew chapter 10, especially. These 12 first disciples were devoted enough to be called apostles. They were being sent out. They were going to be those ambassadors for Christ. Remember, we talked about how many people will call themselves Christians, right? But few will really ever follow Christ. There's a difference. By just bearing the name of Christ and saying, no, I am going to be a Christ follower. Many will go to church, but few are willing to actually be the church 24/7. Every day they go out into the world, they are going to be the church of Jesus Christ. These first 12 today that we're looking at today, they would be considered today, in this day and time, they would be considered fanatics or maybe even like religious weirdos, or maybe they were a little too extreme. I can't believe they would walk away from all that and follow this guy named Jesus. They must be fanatics. Well, today we're going to see where Jesus is before he sends them out on their first expedition. We're going to see that he's sending them out all alone. This is their first mission trip, if you will. He's sending them out and he's saying, look, I've trained you up and I'm getting ready to send you out. And he gives them this commission and he sends them out as actual apostles. And in this passage today, we're going to see that Jesus doesn't just send them out with no instructions. He doesn't just send them out and say, good luck. I hope everything works out for you. He gives them instructions that not only apply to them, okay, that not only will apply to them when it did, but it'll apply to anybody today that says, I want to be a disciple, but I don't know how. Well, Jesus gives us the perfect example. So let's read that today because it applies to us just like we've talked about. The Word of God never will not apply to us. I think I said that right. It will never not apply to us. So let's read Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 15. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. He gave them these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take any money in your money belt. No gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't carry a traveler's bag with a change of clothes and sandals or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter into a city or a village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out it turns to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, before I attempt to preach about your perfect word, Lord, we just ask that we would let the Holy Spirit work in our life today, that I would get out of the way and I would let you work through me this morning, but that also everybody here, everybody that's listening online, anybody that may be listening to the podcast, God, that they would start right now and just ask for your help to soften their hearts so we can listen to what your Spirit wants to say to us individually. Lord, we need you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I used to look at being a disciple as almost kind of a negative. We're going to wait till they pass by. I used to look at being a disciple as almost like a negative way of being a Christian, or the negative side of being a Christian, because it's like, man, I want to receive salvation, right? I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want the peace that Jesus gives me. But when I read about the disciples and the cost of being a disciple and what the disciples actually did and what Jesus said that would happen if they would be persecuted, which we're going to talk about that next week, I was like, man, you know, I like all the other stuff, but I don't know that I'm really sold on being a disciple. Sometimes that's how people look at marriage. We talked about that. They think like, okay, I want to be married, but it's almost like the world paints it as a picture like that's the end of all the good times, right? It's like, okay, but you know, when you get married, you know, you got to go do all the fun stuff before you get married, because once you get married, it's the ball and chain, right? That's what the world teaches us. That's a lie from the devil, because I can tell you something right now. Just like I love being married, and being married has made me full of who I am. When you find that person that loves you for who you are, and you come together and you love each other and you spend a life living together and just serving each other, you really find who you are. And you really find that partner in life that you were supposed to be with, that God made just for you. It's the same way when we find our purpose in Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what you go through, where you move to, as long as you're with Jesus Christ, you know you're good, because you have that peace in your heart. And it's the same way when you're married and you have your family. It doesn't matter where God moves you to, or where life takes you, or what happens, or what you have to deal with. As long as your family's there, you're okay, right? And it's the same way with Jesus. Being a disciple is not a bad thing. It's not something we should fear. It's not something we should sit there and say, oh man, I hope Jesus doesn't call me to be a disciple. It's something we should long for, and it should be a goal that we have. So let's go right back up to the top of this passage, and we're going to break it down this morning. Let's look at verse 5 and 6. Go back there with me and look at it. I'm going to read it again. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. Don't go to the Gentiles and the Samaritans, but to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. I lost my little foamy thing that's supposed to keep the wind off my lapel mic, so y'all are going to have to deal with that this morning. That's right, the Holy Spirit's moving. We praise God. It's such a beautiful day. So right here we see, in these first two verses, we see the first part of their commission. Jesus told them what? He told them exactly where to go and where he wanted them to serve. So often we think that a real disciple of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to be a pastor of a church, or maybe we have to be a missionary. I don't know. Maybe we think we have to move to some distant land, but this isn't the case. Brother, I'm going to turn this thing off and use the mic front. Is that all right? That's distracting me. I know it's going to distract others. Poor John, I keep him working. Can y'all hear me this morning? That might be a little bit better. So often, turn us up just a little bit. I'm getting some thumbs up in the back, and it's not the good thumbs up. All right, let's get back to it. So right here we see the first commission and the first instructions that Jesus gives his followers. Jesus told them, he said what? He said where to go. So often we think being a disciple or being a real follower of Christ, we think we're worried about it. We're like, well, I don't know where to start. Where do I go? What do I do? But see, this doesn't have to be the case. Jesus had many disciples, and we're going to see this as we follow back in through Matthew. We keep going. But these 12 guys, just like we talked about last week, they were fully devoted. They were all in for Christ. And that doesn't mean that we, when we follow Christ and that we give our life to Christ and we say, I want to be a disciple, it doesn't mean that the next day that we say, God, I commit my life to you and I want to follow you, I want to be a disciple. That doesn't necessarily mean the next day he's going to say, okay, you're going to move to India, or you're going to move to Africa, or you're going to move to the Ukraine, or you're going to do this and you're going to go to some crazy land where you're going to be persecuted. That doesn't necessarily mean that. It could happen, but it's actually very unlikely. You see, it starts by us letting God control our life right where we are planted right now, serving right where we are, serving where He's planted us in this moment. And as we follow Jesus and the plan that He has for us, we begin to allow Jesus to teach us in those little things that we were talking about last week. It's just those little things. It's got to start somewhere. So don't get overwhelmed by don't get overwhelmed by the whole pie, right? Just take one slice at a time. And see, this is where we really begin to listen to God, and we really begin to listen to the Holy Spirit that we just talked about, right? We listen to Him, we say, what are you laying upon my heart? What are you calling me to do right now with what I've got, with what training I have, with what abilities I have, with what gifts you've given me? What do you want me to do, God? And see, as we begin to do that, we begin to start listening to that and start listening to what He's calling us to do. Just like He trained up these 12 disciples, He'll begin to train us up. And He'll begin to change our hearts and our desires, and He'll begin to change our focus and what we're supposed to do in life. And He'll give us this vision and maybe a dream. Maybe He'll just lay something on our heart, or all of a sudden maybe break our heart for something a new ministry that we're supposed to do. Just like He did with these 12 disciples. He will begin to entrust us with more and more. As we begin to step, if we step out on faith and we just step and we follow and we begin to listen to Him and trust Him, He begins to give us a little bit more and a little bit more. Jesus was sending them out on their first mission trip, if you will. But guess what? He did not send them to a foreign land. You see, we have to understand that our ministry always starts where we're planted. It always starts at home. See, it's all good and well for me to take a missions trip to Africa. It's all good for me to take a missions trip to Central America or to India or somewhere else across the world to share the gospel with people that haven't heard it. But what's the mission field at my home look like? What does my home discipleship look like with my wife and my children? What mission trip have I taken lately in my own community or maybe in my workplace? So again, if you're wondering how to become a disciple this morning of Jesus Christ, you got to ask yourself this: am I serving where I am right now? Am I serving where I am right now with what I have? Am I being a disciple at work? Am I being a disciple at home? Am I being a disciple at the church that I'm already a part of? Doesn't matter whether you're a member or not. Are you serving in the church that you're a part of? You see, Jesus wasn't saying here that He's not concerned about the Samaritans. He wasn't worried. It's not saying He was trying to leave out the Gentiles. We know that Romans 10:13 says what? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what, church? Okay, y'all got to wake up this morning. For everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. Everyone. John 3:16 tells us this, right? He was just letting His disciples know where to begin. Here's where I want you to start. Start right here. Me personally, when I decided to actually begin my journey of striving to be a Christ follower, I had to start being a better husband and a better father. First of all, when I gave my life to the Lord and I recommitted my life, how fitting to be talking about the men's ministry and the women's ministry that we have going on today, because you know what? I remember God laying on my heart that first thing that He convicted me of is, Anthony, what kind of father are you to your children? How are you leading your family? How are you as a husband? Or how are you treating your wife? And then He began to show me, once I let Him work those areas out in my life, and He gave me the strength and convicted my heart to be a better husband, to be a better father, to be a better son of my parents, to respect them. He began to show me where I could serve in the church that I was a member of. Start using some of those gifts that He had given me. Okay, He said, all right, Anthony, how about this? Pick up that guitar, and instead of taking it to your buddy's garage or out in the cutover where y'all are out hanging out and drinking all night and singing country songs, why don't you take that and sing it at the church for me? and worship me with the gift that I've given you. How about that? Start with that, Anthony. And through that service, God trained me up to get me ready to go to Africa, to go to India, or to go to wherever. Maybe to go to this distant land called Fork Union, Virginia, and be a pastor of a church, right? And believe me, if you can't tell, I'm still in training this morning. I'm still in training. And thank God, when I remember when God gave me the first opportunity to preach, you know where it was? I didn't go, he didn't call me one day and said, "You're going to be a pastor of a church. Go preach. Or here, go to seminary, and we're going to put resumes out there, and you're going to become a pastor in just the next Sunday or the next week or whatever. This is the path you're going to be." You know what he did? He trained me up right where I was planted. He laid on my heart that I was going to be a pastor, that I was going to be a preacher, but I had no idea how it was going to work. God gave me opportunities to preach the gospel and to preach a message the first time at the home church where I grew up, to preach to the very people who saw me go astray, that had been my Sunday school teachers and different people that were instrumental in my life. And thank God those people love me, because I'm going to tell you, the first couple of sermons, you think some of the ones I preached here were rough? You should have sat through some of the other ones that I preached, the first sermons that I preached. But see, God used that time to train me up as I began to follow the calling on my life. And he knew that those people would be gracious enough to let me learn at their expense, right? Because they already loved me and they already accepted me for who I was. And they got the blessing of seeing God work in my life. We just have to say yes in those small things and serve where we are. That's what Jesus was telling us. And the Lord will begin to tell us, and he'll call us, and he'll confirm with us of where to be ministers, where to serve in his name. That's only the first two verses, and we got a lot more to go. Look with me back at verse 7 and 8. We're going through these instructions this morning, and we need to listen to this, because God, this is what it says. "Go and announce to them." All right, he already sent them out. He told them where to go, told them who to minister to. This is what he says. He says, "Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near." See, here we see Jesus instructing his apostles on how to serve, what to preach. All right, so he told them where to serve. Now he's telling them how to serve. This is something that needs to be taught to many preachers today, many churches today. I need to be reminded of it. Jesus tells these guys to be preaching that the kingdom of heaven is near. He didn't tell them to go preach their opinions on social topics, did he? He didn't go tell them to, you know, go tell them who to vote for. That's not what he said. Jesus didn't tell them to preach on maybe an entertaining sermon that people would really just, you know, just be blessed by hearing something great about themselves, or maybe something like Paul said that would just make their itching ears happy. He didn't tell them to preach a sermon that would never offend anybody or step on anybody's toes. No, he gave them instructions on exactly what he wanted them to preach. See, this is lacking in our world today. In so many churches today, this is lacking. And I hope I never fall into that. And if I do, I know that I've got a church around me and men around me and other people in the church that will hold me accountable if I do fall into this trap. See, preachers are no longer looking to the Lord for their message. They're not looking to the Lord for their message. They're looking on the internet. They're looking on the news. They're looking on their political, maybe their opinions, maybe on what makes them happy or feel better about whatever they're dealing with in life. Instead, they're preaching their idea of what they think people want to hear. See, the message is always the Lord's. It's not mine. The message is not mine this morning. It's the Lord's. And that's why we're going straight through the Scriptures. And unless I read this wrong, unless I looked at this and missed it somewhere in the Bible, I did not see an expiration date. Go back and look through this passage we read. I didn't see an expiration date on it. I didn't see valid or best if used by this date. That's not what it said. Jesus gave us these instructions, and he wants us to apply them to our life today. Jesus preached this same message in Matthew chapter 4, if you remember back that far. John preached this message. He preached the same message in Matthew chapter 3. And now we see Jesus instructing his disciples as they go out as apostles, as these ambassadors, to preach the what message? The kingdom of heaven is near. What makes us think that we're not to be preachers of the same message? I think it's pretty clear myself. If the kingdom is near, okay, if the kingdom is near, and that's what we're supposed to be preaching to the world, it tells me that repentance and salvation should be preached. Amen? Being a disciple isn't a guessing game. Jesus gave us perfect and easy to read instructions. And he did the same thing with his disciples that he wants to speak to your heart this morning. We are to follow his instructions on how to use our gifts for his service. Look at verse 8 with me. We're going to keep on rolling. This is what he says. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Some pretty hardcore instructions he just gave these guys. But listen to what he says at the end of it. He says, give as freely as you have received. So let's talk in just a few seconds about the power and the gifts that the apostles had. Think about the mighty power and the commandment and the commission that he has given them today. First of all, we have to remember this. Their power was given to them from God. It wasn't something that they could muster up on their own. It wasn't something they could learn from somebody else. Or it wasn't something that they, because they were such great people, that they could do. Just like our power, just like our gifts, if I'm able to strum 3 or 4 chords on the guitar, guess what? And somebody says, man, you're such a good guitar player. First of all, they have no idea of a thing called a capo and how I use that to make it look like I'm a good guitar player because I only know 3 or 4 chords. But guess what I should say? Praise God. He's the one that gave me ability to play the guitar. Or maybe you're good at mechanics, or maybe you're good at serving another direction. Maybe you're good in children's ministry, whatever it is. And when someone says, and when someone sees that, you should just turn all the praise around and say, God gave me the power to do this. I couldn't do it on my own. They didn't have to go to college. They didn't have to go to a seminary school to learn how to preach. Jesus trained them up. The Word of God says we don't need anybody to teach us because He, the Spirit, will teach us what is right and what is true. There's nothing wrong with education just as long. There's nothing wrong with going to seminary. There's nothing wrong with furthering your education and reading study books. I read study books all the time, my favorite commentaries. As long as we remember that the Lord's instructions always overrule man's instructions. Just because I read what someone else who says they're a scholar or the world says they're a scholar or maybe you learn from a professor something that the world gave him a degree, he ain't God. That's not proper English, and I'm sorry, teachers. He ain't God. The disciples were fully to rely on God's power working through them. They were 12 regular guys, and Jesus was telling them, he's given them this power, but you know what? They have to rely on his power working in their life to complete the ministry in this awesome and kind of heavy burden that he had given them to do. And Jesus was reminding them that this power was freely given to them. They didn't have to do anything to earn it. Jesus gave them this freely, and they were to freely give it to others. So that people could see that God actually does work through you. God does care about us, and he wants to use us in the ministry. John 20, verse 21 says this. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He didn't say you're sending yourself. He said, I'm sending you out under my authority and my power. You see, when I get out of the way and I allow God's power to work through me and work in my life, and see, sometimes that doesn't work out the way that we like it. So that's not something that's necessarily easy to do because we think, well, God, I want it to go this way at church, or I wanted my sermon, I wanted to preach on this, God. But if I really spend the time praying and asking God, what am I supposed to say? Sometimes he gives me words or lays something on my heart that wasn't what I would preach. It's not really my opinion. But praise God for that. People, when we do that, what they happen is they'll start to see Christ working through me. When you start to let God's will work in your life, when his will is first in your life, and you really, just like Jesus told us to pray, say, you know, let your kingdom come, your will be done, you know what's going to happen? People will see Christ in you. When I do that, Christ, people see Christ in me. Shining their Jesus light, right? And God will get all the glory. We don't take the praise for it. If somebody wants to tell me that I'm a powerful sermon preacher, I've heard that once or twice in my life. But you know what I say? God is good. God is good. Because it's only because of him. Somebody asked me this morning, said, man, you look tired and stressed. I said, it's because I am. But guess what? I'm too blessed to be stressed this morning because I've got God on my side. Amen. Look at verse 9 and 10 with me. Jesus has already told us where to serve, and he's told us what to preach and how to serve. Look at verse 9, and we're going to see the next instructions. 9 and 10 say this. Don't take any money and your money belt. No gold, silver, or even copper coins. Don't even take some pennies with you. Don't carry a traveler's bag with change or clothes, a change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. And don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. So here we see Jesus giving his disciples instructions on how to be good stewards of that power and that ministry that he's giving them. How to be good stewards of the gifts that he has given. As I've said earlier, my first few sermons were probably kind of rough. And I remember feeling really awkward, especially when a church that I would fill in at, or when my own church would bless me and give me a check at the end of the day, or before I, when I got to the church, would give me a check for paying me to preach. I was like, how in the world can I take a check from the church? I don't want to take a check from the church. And I remember feeling awkward about being paid to fill in when I would preach. In fact, I didn't want to accept any money from the church. I just thought, I was like, man, you know, God's going to strike me dead because he knows how imperfect I am. How can the church pay me to preach when I really need to be trained up some more? And I need someone to be preaching to me this morning. In fact, I always consider myself blessed, and I still do, that I'm allowed to preach the gospel, that I'm allowed to be a servant of God. But it was God's design for his disciples, for those who preach the good news, not to spend their own money in the ministry, but to fully trust the Lord to supply their needs. He didn't want them worried about bills, and he didn't want them worried about the payment on their car or their camel, whatever they had payments on. But to fully trust the Lord would supply their needs. You see, it's biblical to support your pastor and your ministers and other missionaries, because it allows them to focus on God's instructions and not worried about worldly stuff. This allows them to focus on preaching the gospel and not on how am I going to make it to another country? How am I going to get there? How am I going to do this, or how am I going to do that? It allows them to focus on meeting the needs of others as ministers. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not preaching because I want a pay raise this morning. This is in the scripture. We're just going through it. Just throwing that out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14 says this: in the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Okay, so this is something that someone had to bring to my attention when I said, man, I'm just not worthy enough. I don't want to be paid by the church. They said, look, man, it's not the church's design. It's not your design. It's God's design. That's the way he wants it to work. But notice, he didn't say they should be millionaires. He didn't say they should live in big estates and have all these worldly possessions. He said, no, they should be supported by those who benefit. Jesus not only wanted to take care of his disciples, but he didn't want them to be distracted by money and possessions. He didn't want them walking along with their money belt, counting their money, saying, do we have enough to make it? Or maybe we don't have enough, so we better go back. We don't have enough money to go any further, so we better go back. Because if we're attached to that money and those possessions, that's what's going to happen. Jesus wanted them to be good stewards of the power that they were given. They were not to be focused on building up treasures on earth. We know that. Not treasures of this world, not worldly possessions, all those things, but they were to trust the Lord to meet their needs while they put everything they had into the life of ministry, being good stewards of what God had given them. It wasn't something they earned. God had given it to them. We've seen this in action. I have seen this in action right here in Fork Union. Right here in the church in Fork Union, someone or a team feels led to go somewhere and serve in the name of Jesus, maybe an outreach. And the rest of us do what? We pull together and we send them, right? You know what I've learned? When God lays it on my heart, to go somewhere, when God lays it on your heart to start a ministry, or maybe to go on a missions trip, or to do an outreach program at the church, you know what he's doing on the flip side of that that you don't even know? He's already preparing somebody else to help support you make that happen. He's already supporting somebody who maybe can't go, maybe doesn't feel called to go, or maybe they're physically can't or whatever, but you know what? They can give towards it. They can help you, raise supplies and all those things. We've seen that happen right here at church. So often we forget that we are to be good stewards of what God has given us, whether it's a gift to go or whether it's a gift, or maybe the gift of giving. The gifts that God has given us, we are to use for his glory. Just something for us to think about this morning. What are we doing? What are we doing with what the gifts and what God has blessed us with? What are we doing with it? Are we using it wisely? We are to be good stewards of what God has given us. Look at verse 11 through 15, and we'll close with this after we go through it. We're going to see the last instructions that Jesus gives them right here before we close. This is what he says. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If not, if it is not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet and leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. So Jesus told them not to bring any money, not to bring a change of clothes, but then he follows up with these instructions that we just read in these last couple verses. You see, although we are to trust the Lord as we go out and we preach the good news, we also must be prepared. And there is a part of our ministry and a part of he did give us a brain, and he did give us the ability to prepare and to make sure that we're doing what we can to do what we're supposed to do before we do ministries and before we do certain things. When we go on these overseas trips as this church or with other churches, and we go to Zimbabwe with Grace Life Baptist Church, and we go with Malcolm Warfield with the Seed Ministry, it takes months and months of planning that most people don't even know happen. In fact, it actually takes years of planning. If you look at someone like our very own Malcolm Warfield, if you look at Malcolm, he has spent years and years making contacts in other countries and building relationships and forming these relationships so we have places to go on these mission trips. We already have people who we know will show us hospitality. We already know there's a worthy home that'll bring us in and not only feed us, but feed us really good. I gain weight when I go on these mission trips. Not only does this church pay for us to go, but there's always someone there who's welcoming and willing us to just open up their home, and we live in their home, and they feed us, and they just treat us literally like kings. And while we are there, there's always those who are not so welcoming. There's always those who look at us like we have two heads, and they say, "What are you doing here? We don't want to hear about Jesus." And this is where we must listen to what Jesus is telling us in this last passage. We should share the gospel with everybody. We know that, right? But if someone doesn't welcome us, or they begin to mock us, or they run us out of town or whatever, we are to use our time wisely. And we shake the dust off our feet, and we continue sharing the gospel with those who will listen. I remember, and I've told this before, but I remember when the first time I went to Zimbabwe, we were sharing, if you don't know about that trip, we go to village, and we literally just start sharing the gospel with people. We go in these little villages, little homesteads, and we just walk up and we say, we came to bring you some good news, and we want to share something with you. And 99.9% of all the people treat us like the most honored guests they've ever met. They give us the finest chairs they have, which sometimes is a little piece of a stump or a log, or maybe a mat to sit on. And they sit on the ground and they want to hear what we have to say. But I remember going to one of the villages and one of the persons, I've talked about it before, they turned their back to us. While we were talking, we turned their back, and I wanted to reach that person. The pastor said, "That's them showing that they don't want to listen to what you are saying." And I didn't want to go to the next town. I said, "Well, let me talk to them a little bit more, because I want everybody to come to Christ. I want them to know of the peace and the salvation that I have." And I'll never forget, the pastor looked at me and he said, "Pastor, there are many other lost souls we must go." And it broke my heart as I looked down and I saw the dusty soil on my boots. And I remember this scripture coming to life in my life for the first time as I went like this and I kicked the dust off my boots and we walked to the next place. As sad as it is, they'll have to deal with the consequences of their decision and their choice, just as we have to decide. Will we accept the message that Jesus told us to preach and to hear, that the kingdom is near and that we should be repenting and turning to God? Or will we turn our back and say, "Well, I don't want to hear that because it might mess up my plans"? Jesus was telling his disciples to be prepared to stay on mission as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So as we close this morning, I want to remind us this morning That we can all be called to be disciples. God wants to call you this morning to be a disciple. And just like the disciples that we saw and that we read about, these first 12, Jesus will commission me. He will commission you. He will commission each person that's listening online and send you out with those same instructions. It's not hard. It seems like it could be hard when you think about being a disciple, but it's not hard. All we have to do is follow these simple, simple instructions that He gave us. Number one, He'll tell us where to serve. He'll tell us where to serve. He wants to tell you what to say and what to preach. He wants you to be a good steward of the gifts and the power that He's given you. But He also wants you to be prepared. And He wants you to do your part. Because He doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to be willing servants of Him, of our King. Not only did Jesus want to teach us this morning, He wants to commission us and send us out. So I ask you this morning, the first step of being a disciple is this. First of all, accepting that you are and admitting that you're a sinner, but also accepting the free gift of salvation that Jesus gives you. All you have to do is really just believe that God somehow, in spite of all the things you've done, all the words you've spoken, all the mistakes you've made, whatever, all the people you've hurt in your life, whatever it is, that God still loves you enough to forgive you in the name of Jesus right here today. That's where it starts, being a disciple. I don't know where you are today, but God knows where you are. Or maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ and you say, I never really understood how to be a disciple. And through some of this that we've been going through and the Spirit working on you today, maybe you want to recommit your life and you want to say, you know what, God, I want to give it all to you. And I want to trust you that you're not going to leave me out to dry. If I say, God, I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be one of those apostles who gets sent out. And really has a purpose in life. I want to be one of those people who doesn't just bear the name of Christ or use the name of Christ, but I want to be a Christ follower. All we have to do is ask Him and tell Him that's what we want to do. Commit our life to Him. And He will begin, take a fool's advice, He will begin to train you up and to show you exactly where to serve. He'll tell you what to say. And He'll show you how to be good stewards of what He gave you. And He'll start to prepare your heart to be sent out. And it might be right here where you're planted. It might be on the other end into the world. But either way, if we follow His instructions, He's going to be with us. Amen? We have to believe that, and we have to stand on that rock. We have to stand on that firm foundation. If Jesus is calling you today, if God is calling you today, whatever it is, I would hope and pray that you would come.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm glad I paused for a second to hear that baby cry. God, we love You today, and we just thank You for being so gracious. Lord, we thank You for being so good to us. Not only for giving us salvation and that opportunity to be forgiven and to be made right with our Creator through what Jesus did on the cross. But God, You always put people, that's the church, You put people around us that You know we need. No matter what step of life we're in, no matter what season, whether we're a new believer or whether we're someone who is starting to recommit their life to the Lord or whether we're fully committed already, You always put those people in our life. Just like You brought those 12 disciples together that'll work together to complete the ministry that You've given us. God, I just pray today that that would be us at Fork Union Baptist, that we would use the power You've given us, follow the instructions You've given us on what to preach and where to serve. But God, mostly that we'll be good stewards of this property, of our finances, of our congregation, of our outreaches, all the things that we do, God, that we would be good stewards of it. And that we would continuously be planning and planning more and more of what we can do for You. Oh God, help us this week. Keep us walking by the way of Your instructions and not the world. Keep us standing on the rock as we go out in this broken, panicked, and dying world. Keep us focused on the name of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. We love you all.